Matt and Mike in the morning. Welcome back to Matt and Mike in the morning. This is Old Testament lesson 27 to be taught on April the 17th. This is Daniel part one. We get part two next week.
A few years ago, we did a VBS on Daniel, and I'm singing the song, the theme song for that one. Daniel, Daniel, Daniel. My kids probably still know it. This is a good lesson. The first page, which would be page 160, talks about key facts, message from the king, talks about omnipotence and omniscience, which are good words that we'll be talking about, you know, in confirmation class, the characteristics of God.
But overall, this first page doesn't really do anything for the lesson. It's kind of weird, and the chart's kind of weird. The way that it divides up different times that God did miracles and the points that it's trying to make about why God did those miracles at that time, it's kind of weird. I would just bypass it altogether and just move on to the narrative.
Yep.
You get the stories from the first three chapters of Daniel. You get the vegetables, you get the dream, you get the fiery furnace. Classics.
Yeah, these are really great stories. And like Pastor Bauer said, just spend your time in teaching the narrative of Daniel chapter 1, 2, and 3. There's a lot there. It's really one of the main pillar stories, I think, mm-hmm. of the Old Testament and the prophets. So Daniel and his friends are in exile right now. So they're not living in the promised land anymore. They've been exiled over into Babylon, which would be like present-day Baghdad area. King Nebuchadnezzar was a very powerful king, and he's kind of got two faces here in the story. That first, he's got this dream that troubles him so greatly, and his friends, Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which are then their Babylonian names.
Right.
Named
after false gods.
Yeah. And so they come and they interpret the dream, as the story says, and they're given a place of honor. But then a little while later, Nebuchadnezzar gets pretty prideful, and he has this big gold statue erected of him, which is, I think you should talk about the Campanile, because it's about the height of the Campanile.
Hmm.
About the height of the Campanile, but not the same square surface at the base. So it was very tall and slender. Was mm-hmm. this almost an obelisk. Yeah. Of King Nebuchadnezzar.
And the statue itself, it doesn't say that it was of Nebuchadnezzar. It was probably to one of the gods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the main focus in this is Daniel and his friends, their faithfulness to God. So all mm-hmm. the other, they live in a nation where they're worshiping these, just terrible foreign gods, pagan gods. There's paganism all over the place. One of the reasons that there's a parallel to the New Testament, where the New Testament Christians had a problem of conscience eating meat that was sacrificed to mm-hmm. idols. You know, so David, Daniel, and his friends have a problem of conscience, rightfully so, mm-hmm. Of eating meat that was in probably a greater form offered to these Babylonian idols.
It was either idol meat or it was food that the Lord said was unclean for them, like shrimp, bacon, that sort of stuff. It's not really clear, but one or the other.
Yeah. So they're just faithful guys, and they're faithful all the way through. And this is a good encouraging example to our young kids to be faithful as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were.
The overall point of the book of Daniel is that God is sovereign. That is, he rules over all things. We see this especially in Pharaoh's dream. That Pharaoh dreams of this four-part statue, and then a rock come and strikes the feet, and the whole thing topples, and it makes this big mountain. This is about four kingdoms which would arise before Christ came. And so it starts with Babylon, and then or is it Assyria first? Anyway, it winds up with Christ coming during the time of the Romans. And this is showing that God is saying beforehand, this is what's going to happen before I send my Messiah. And he's going to come and be this huge, big thing.
I think that there's two good sacramental points that are in this lesson that I think can be brought out. One is that the fourth man in the fiery furnace is our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the angel of the Lord. And so there's this theme in the Old Testament of the Lord being with his people there in bodily reality with Daniel and his friends. And he's with us in the New Testament as well. In our times of trial and in danger, to encourage, but more than that, to save us, as he does by his body and blood, which offers, gives, and seals the forgiveness of sins. This lesson talks about how God reveals mysteries. Mystery is what we translate the Latin word sacramentum from. So we talk about the mysteries. Pastors are charged to be stewards of the mysteries of God. What is that like?
1 Corinthians 4
it is, yeah. And so the Lord, the lesson says that the Lord reveals himself to us in mysteries. And he does. How the Lord revealed himself in the breaking of bread to the early church. So he reveals himself today to us in the breaking of bread. He reveals this mystery to us in baptism as well, that we can be washed, we can be forgiven of all of our sins. How does that work? I don't see baptism forgive. I don't see water. I don't feel the words forgiving my sins, but the mystery is revealed when he says baptism now saves you. You can't be saved without the forgiveness of sins. And so he binds that together, the forgiveness of sins, to the water and the word, and grants us this mystery of faith. So the Lord reveals himself to us in mysteries, and these mysteries are for good, to save us as Daniel and his friends were saved in the fiery furnace. And he reveals himself to us in the mysteries of the Lord's Supper, baptism, confession, absolution, where sins are forgiven, and where there's forgiveness of sins, there's also life and
salvation.
That's right.
We'll see you next time on
Matt and Mike in the morning.